Ta'ala is present everywhere, then yes. What is the reason that we have to face
yes.
Qibla?
Yes.
You know, the point is that Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the religion of Islam tried to make the religious rituals easy mm-hmm. for mankind, you know? Because we can also ask this way, that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always available everywhere and He is present everywhere, then why does He send the prophets
yes.
to us? He can directly talk to us. When Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is always over there, then why should we move our hands? We can ask God to move everything for us. You know, for example, like this kind of questions you can ask. But since from the human perspective, from the mankind's perspective, we know that people are always trying to find the easy way to face, to perform, let's say, prayers, to remember the Almighty Allah subhanahu yes. wa ta'ala, to get perfection. So yes. this kind of, it's a kind of what we can say, facility or let's say equipments, tools yes. for mankind to direct themselves towards Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remember okay. Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to remind themselves of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because this remembrance helps human being not to commit sin, to be faithful, you know,
yes.
to stay, for example, mu'min in his life.
Yes.
So that is the reason that we see Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala
yes.
orders. It's one of the hikmahs, one
yes.
of the wisdoms behind facing Qibla.
Yes, yes.
IRIB English Radio presents questions and answers on Islamic beliefs. Answering your theological questions in Questions and Answers on Islamic Beliefs. Send us your questions to englishradio@irib.ir.
Through a standing, you know, in the direction of Qibla, the people are also somehow acting unanimously. They are united, isn't it?
Oh, yes,
in
of course.
One action, which is Salah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in this way, a kind of, we can say, that's right, similarity and resemblance can be seen around the people. Does a standing, for example, in one direction towards Qibla make a kind of unity and wahda among the people?
Exactly, as you rightly mentioned, particularly when we see that in the Ayyam of Hajj, when we see that millions of Muslims from different nationalities, different, let's say, countries, different languages, different cultures, when they come in the holy city of Mecca, when they pray,
yes.
they all face towards Qibla. You see that a very beautiful scene is there, that we see all these people are united. There is no any kind of, let's say, superiority for any Muslim over mm-hmm. the other Muslims. And they are all the same. They are all united. And there is a kind of beautiful harmony and an order between all Muslims.
Yes.
Of course, it gives us this lesson that that you have to be always united, that you have to be always, let's say, supporting and helping each other. To be true, let's say, nation as ummah of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
That's right. Are these scientific guesses true too about, for example, the Mecca and Kaaba being the center of the world? So, geographically speaking, standing in one direction of the Qibla is just as if you are standing towards the center of the world. So on that time, the energies or something like, it will be the power of energy, the main core of the earth or something like that. Are they true?
You know, when it comes to the scientific data or discoveries, you know, since we are not 100% sure, I'm emphasizing on this, that 100% sure.
Yes.
When there is no 100% certainty about any scientific data, scientific, let's say, discoveries, then of course we cannot surely and certainly say that this is either true or false. You know, there is just one possibility, is that.
Yes.
It is possible that, for example, we say that all these people who face Qibla, they might send a kind of positive energy. I don't know whether this energy is sensible for the others or not, whether this energy helps others or not. since science is silent here,
yes,
that's why we cannot, for sure, we cannot say such a thing. But as a possibility, we cannot deny and reject totally.
That's right. That's all right. Usually the people who are worshipping to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we can say in their houses or in the mosques, you know, they stand, we can say stand up right across from the Qibla. It is believed that when you are doing salat or prayer, all your attentions must be towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you know, this Qibla is just only a sign, an excuse for us to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Exactly. You know, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent us the prophets as the exactly the same human beings that we are, the prophets are.
Mm-hmm.
And Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us to face Qibla as a building. Why? Because Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always, since He loves us, since He's merciful and kind, He tries to guide us towards the right path. He tries to remind us of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by any means, including the let's say, physical presence of the prophets among us. For example, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not order us to follow the angels because we do not see the angels.
Yes.
And angels cannot be role models for us because their life is different. And of course, since prophets are exactly like us, as the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that, أَنَا بَشَرٌ مِثْلُكُمْ, I am exactly like you.
Yes.
This prophet can be as a role model for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as you rightly mentioned, the Qibla is a kind of remembering us for the presence of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that we should be always cautious, careful. And of course, this Hujjaj, when they go to Mecca, they all of them says that when we face the Qibla, when we see from the close or near the, let's say, the building of Kaaba, the Qibla, it exactly reminds us of the day of Qiyamah.
Mm-hmm.
Because we see all the people are with the same clothing, and there's no any superiority from anyone to other ones.
Yes.
And we are all just face the Holy Kaaba as a Baytullah Ta'ala.
Yes.
It always tells us that one day you will be like this in the presence of your Lord.
Uh-huh.
You know?
Yes.
It reminds us of the day of Qiyamah. And that's, as you rightly mentioned, of course, this Qibla always reminds of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the day of Qiyamah.
And of course, there is this misunderstanding by some of the non-Muslims that the Muslims are worshipping Kaaba, which is a piece of a stone.
That's
it is
false,
not so. It is a false claim.
It's a false claim, of course.
Yeah. In fact, the Muslims are not worshipping Kaaba, which is a house. It is not idolatry. They are worshipping,
ordered by Allah to worship.
They are worshipping the owner, the true owner of the house, and the true creator of the house, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you very much, Shaykh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the concept of Qibla. It was very kind of you. And thank you very much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. Till another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
Inna fil jannati nahran min labani Ali wa Husayn wa Hasan. لعلي وحسين وحسان إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن لعلي وحسين وحسان لعلي وحسين وحسان كل من كان محبا لهم كل من كان محبا لهم يدخل الجنة من غير حزن يدخل الجنة من غير حزن إن في الجنة نهرا من لبن إن في لبن لعلي وحسين وحسن
يوسف جلالي بتهران
روباشاف دوزا
جروم هيوز بروسلز
سعيد بورزا لندن
Russia, Saglam, Istanbul.
Sayed Amin Alemi, Kabul.
Shahanabad, Indian administered Kashmir.
Around the world with reporters.
Chants echoed through the streets of the Pakistani capital Islamabad as thousands of demonstrators gathered to condemn the United States and Israel. The protest, organized by Pakistan's largest religio-political party, Jamaat-e-Islami, saw passionate crowds marching through the streets, expressing solidarity with the Palestinian cause and denouncing Israel's actions, which take place with the support of the U.S.
Of course, there should be a ceasefire long ago, but even now we are pressing for it, and you have seen how irresponsible and insensitive Biden has been responding. He was just having ice cream and talking about ceasefire as if it was a very casual affair. And on the other hand, the way children are dying, women are dying from morning till night, and especially there are a lot of prisoners which are taken by Israel. And there are large number of women and children who have been taken as prisoners, and their condition is pathetic.
The acts of solidarity in Pakistan reflect widespread outrage and sympathy for the plight of the Palestinian people.
As a Pakistani citizen, I think that our government should immediately call for a ceasefire and boycott all the products that are supporting the Israeli aggression in Palestine. And I also want to say that the whole world should come out of their houses and protest, because the kids, Palestinian kids, are starving right now, and they are being starved, and they are scared, and they are homeless, and they have nothing to eat and drink, and they are dying. And how can anybody bear that?
The protesting Pakistanis called on the government to cut its ties with the U.S. over what they call the barbaric role in the killing of innocent men, women and children in Gaza.
People here in Pakistan are concerned about the ongoing atrocities committed by Israeli forces in Gaza. They are demanding that the international community enforce an immediate ceasefire by bringing the U.S. and Israel to the International Court of Justice for their war crimes in Gaza. Nasir Kazmi, Islamabad.
Syrians have long been accustomed to eagerly welcoming the holy month of Ramadan, brimming with joy and happiness. But this year has brought an unusual sense of sadness as the harsh economic conditions exacerbated by unjustified Western sanctions is casting a shadow over their celebrations. Moreover, their hearts are heavy with sorrow for their brethren in Gaza, who endure the devastating consequences of the ongoing Israeli onslaught.
We are going through a painful situation as people do not have money due to the poor economic conditions. As store owners, we are trying to consider the people's circumstances by reducing prices during Ramadan. However, basic production materials are expensive due to the importing difficulties.
Ramadan is always a special month, as it is a month of worship, patience and blessings, especially in Palestine. However, this year, it is as if Palestinians in Gaza have been fasting for more than 5 months. We pray for them and gain our determination, patience and steadfastness from them, from the brave faces of Gaza's children, the resilience of its resistance fighters, and the patience of its steadfast women.
Ramadan comes this year while the Western world, which claims freedom and humanity, practices double standards with the people of Gaza, who are suffering from hunger, blockade and Israeli crimes. Palestinians are paying the price for demanding their freedom and legitimate rights. Syrians will always stand with them until the final victory over the Zionist regime and the liberation of the occupied lands.
The month of Ramadan comes this year amid the continued unjust Western economic blockade on Syria. We see our people in Gaza suffering from blockade, hunger, killing, destruction, and continuous Zionist aggression without deterrent.
Syrians are a living nation because they have defended resistance, and the Palestinian people are the soul of resistance. We say to the West, you will lose, and the access of resistance from Iran to Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Palestine, and Yemen will prevail. We will break the Caesar Act and all your blockades on Syria and Gaza, and we will all pray in Al-Quds.
Syrian message to their brothers and sisters in Gaza is that no matter how difficult our circumstances may be, your tragedy in Gaza remains even more challenging, and your resilience is an inspiration not only for us, but for all free people around the world.
Syrians welcome Ramadan this year amid hard economic conditions due to unjust Western sanctions and with heavy hearts for their besieged brothers and sisters in Gaza. Yet their commitment to the resistance fuels their faith in eventual victory. Ibrahim Wahdi, Damascus.
Yemen is from all walks of life gathered in the capital Sana'a and other major cities and chanted slogans in praise of the Yemeni army's naval operations. They also reaffirmed their full support for the Palestinian people and pledged to continue the protests until the Israeli genocide ceases.
The Yemeni government, all its members, its president and the people have one position, which is to support the Palestinian cause. We must thwart the American, Israeli and British project and stop starvation in Palestine. Our position is an honorable position, and our broad movement indicates that the Yemenis have great awareness, and God willing, victories for the nation will be at hand.
Protesters expressed support for the Yemeni army's naval operations against Western vessels, stating that the Palestinian cause helped the Yemeni people overcome the problems created by the Western powers in the country. They believe the conspiracy targets the whole region, not just Palestine or Yemen, and call on all Muslims to unite to thwart Western projects.
We went out today in Sana'a, as you can see, and in the rest of the governorates to announce to the world that our demonstrations and our position is a religious position that will not change with regimes or rulers. We will continue to insist on our position until our brothers in Gaza are victorious, receive food and medicine, and the U.S.-Israeli genocide against them stops. Our army will also continue its operations until the aggression against our country stops. Our operations are escalating, and upcoming strikes will stun both friends and enemies.
Our demonstration here in Sana'a and other governorates is to send a message that we as Yemenis have been able to overcome all the differences and problems that the enemies sought to create inside Yemen. The other message is that we continue to support the Palestinian cause, and what is happening in Gaza is shameful for all Arabs and Muslims. The operations of our army in the Red Sea and Bab al-Mandab are completely linked to what is happening to the people of Gaza, and the escalation of naval military operations is a legitimate move to support the Palestinian cause.
Recently, the Yemeni army intensified its naval attacks against American, British and Israeli-linked vessels and regional waterways, resulting in the sinking of a British vessel in the Gulf of Aden. It also attacked an American vessel, which the U.S. claimed led to loss of lives among the ship's crew members.
Yemenis assert that the success of Yemeni naval attacks, despite the presence of Western warships in the Red Sea and Gulf of Aden, demonstrates the capability and high-tech weaponry possessed by the Yemeni army. They believe this achievement should inspire other regional forces to join the fight and support the Palestinians in face of the common enemies. Abdul Latif Roshali, Sana'a.
In recent years, Iran and Russia have significantly enhanced their cooperation in a wide range of fields. A key driving force behind the growth of bilateral relations between the two countries is forging a new geoeconomic reality in one of the world's most strategic regions. Both nations have been pursuing several objectives in this regard. They have been after establishing an independent monetary system, energy market, and parallel supply chains outside the control of Western regulatory frameworks to circumvent sanctions imposed in an attempt to isolate them. And their efforts have yielded significant success. In the field of trade, despite facing severe sanctions, Iran has managed to surpass the $2 billion threshold in exports to Russia. Iran's exports to Russia predominantly consist of fruits, polymer products, vehicles, non-metal minerals, and chemical products. Similarly, Russian exports to Iran, valued at the same amount, mainly comprise agricultural products. Iranian officials have hailed the economic cooperation between the two nations as closer than ever.
Analyzing the export trend, we see an acceptable growth in all sectors, with Iran's exports to Russia witnessing a notable increase in both volume and value. This progress not only contributes to the advancement of the two nations, but also lays the foundation for the development of other regional countries.
The total value of annual bilateral trade between the two countries reached $4.9 billion in 2023, according to Iran's official statistics. A Russian economic delegation was in Tehran in late February for the 17th round of their Joint Economic Commission. Both sides then pledged to boost trade tenfold over the coming years. Mahdi Abusyan, Tehran.
On the International Day for Women's Rights, demonstrations and pro-feminism strikes were held around France by women and the men who support their fight for equality. In October 1789, the Women's March on Versailles apprehended King Louis XVI at his luxurious palace and brought him to justice in Paris. But much work remains to be done in Republican France. Only 37% of French Parliament is female. Two-thirds of France's working poor are women, in large part because women compose 80% of France's part-time workers.
A return to far-right economic austerity after the COVID lockdowns hurt women more than any other minority. Women are more likely to work in the government and to use social services, so cuts to government budgets hurt them more than men.
Une femme qui est tuée tous les trois jours en France.
In France, one woman is killed every 3 days by their partner or ex-partner. Our government must take more measures to protect the safety of our women. We also need policies which abolish the male-female pay gap and which better protect women from rape.
Israel's attempted genocide of Gaza has had a disastrous effect on women. From the starvation of 60,000 pregnant women to the forced displacement of 1 million females to the inhuman and degrading treatment of women by Israeli forces, according to the United Nations, to the murder of nearly 10,000 women.
Israel's genocide in Gaza is an issue for all feminists and for all humanists. Anyone who thinks that we are at the wrong march are obviously just Zionist imperialists, and they also obviously do not understand what it means to support women with equality, respect, and justice.
Globally, 60% of poor people are women. They are paid 23% less than a man, even when doing the same work, and they spend 2.5 more hours doing domestic chores than men.
We have made some progress pushing women's rights to the forefront, but we must demand many other advancements. We must also not forget about the rights of girls, many of whom suffer from sexual violence, and who must be better protected and better represented by our government.
In France and much of the West, women suffer from widespread objectification and the commodification of their bodies. France allows the use of naked women in public advertising, which many say undermines its regular claim to be a feminist model which other nations must emulate. Ramin Mazahiri, Paris.
Music.
hours after targeting two American destroyers in the Red Sea and at the same location where the sunken British ship Roby Mar was attacked. The spokesman for the Yemeni army stated that they had successfully targeted the American cargo ship True Confidence in the Gulf of Aden with naval missiles, causing the ship to catch fire.
The naval forces of the Yemeni armed forces carried out a targeting operation against the American ship in the Gulf of Aden with a number of suitable naval missiles. The hit was accurate thanks to God, which led to the fire breaking out on it. The targeting operation came after the ship's crew rejected warning messages from the Yemeni naval forces.
Officials suggest that the U.S. claims of the loss of lives come within the Western narrative and could be a fabrication to justify larger aggression against Sana'a and to garner international support against Yemeni naval operations.
Since 2015, we have been facing the American-backed Saudi aggression, and in all our military operations, we have not targeted any civilians, and this is an honorable history for our armed forces. Regarding the deaths of civilians in the attack on the American ship, this news comes within the American narrative. This news may be fabricated to escalate attacks against Yemeni territory. We are prepared for confrontation in all its forms, and our naval operations will escalate whenever the Western attack escalates, whether against our brothers in Gaza or against Yemeni territory.
U.S. officials reported that three of the ship's crew members were killed while others were critically injured.
Observers state that the Yemeni army's latest operation substantiates that the threats of escalating naval operations were not mere media propaganda. Moreover, they assert that the Yemeni army has already begun deploying unexpected weaponry, catching the U.S. Navy off guard and leading to the failure to protect its vessels. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, Sana'a.
War on Gaza continues unabated. Israel is pressing ahead with its systematic move to dehumanize the entire population of the Gaza Strip and destroy all aspects of life in the besieged territory. Piles of rubbish and solid waste are now a normal scene in Gaza's streets after Israeli forces targeted all parts of civil life in Gaza, including the municipalities, where dozens of the crews were killed. Waste storages and all related equipment, including waste collection vehicles, were also destroyed in the war and completely paralyzed.
Israeli forces targeted several vehicles used to remove the rubbish, as you can see over there. This left us paralyzed in handling the tremendous amounts of the rubbish left by the displaced people crammed in the central area. We demand that all international bodies help by providing us with the needed equipment and vehicles.
Not only did the deliberate Israeli attacks against the municipalities cause this crisis, but Israeli prevention of delivery of fuel needed to operate the vehicles and equipment worsened the problem. This caused rubbish and wastes to pile up on the streets and in shelters.
This is a big problem we have been suffering from since the beginning of the war on Gaza. The rubbish is scattered everywhere in the vicinity of the hospital, which causes a lot of diseases for people, particularly the children.
Infectious diseases are ravaging Palestinians in war-torn Gaza as the health system collapsed by the war. And dire conditions and scarcity of food and clean water have set off a public health crisis. The Gaza Health Ministry, alongside many international organizations, has called for an end to the catastrophe that is looming in terms of the infectious diseases that began to spread on a wide scale among the displaced Palestinians. Hundreds of thousands of those people, mostly women and children, were now diagnosed with contagious diseases like hepatitis and intestinal diseases.
More than 150 days of this war led to mass displacement of the people who crammed in the evacuation centers without having a real access to the hygiene and cleanness. This caused a lot of infectious diseases, particularly among the children. Needless to mention the severe shortage of the medical supplies and assistance amid the overwhelming number of injuries inflicted by the Israeli attacks.
Months-long incessant Israeli bombardments have put the vast majority of the health facilities out of service. This as limited sanitation facilities and overcrowding shelters are causing the spread of disease and keeping Gaza from recovering.
It's another dark side of the deep catastrophe that still afflicts the Palestinian people as a result of the ongoing apocalyptic Israeli genocide in the Gaza Strip. While the outcries of the Palestinian civilians are still unanswered and muted by the American veto. Abu Musabbih, the central area of Gaza Strip.
selection of Ayatollah Khamenei's viewpoints.
It guides us through life. It has taught us everything. We should learn and appreciate what it gives us. And try to apply them to our daily lives. How is it possible? By means of Quran.
این خوندن قرآن و تلاوت قرآن قدم اول است برادران من این قدم آخر نیست.
Reading and recitation of the Quran is the firstest of brothers, not the last one.
هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين.
It is he who has sent his apostle with the guidance and the religion of truth, that he may make it prevail over all religions, though the polytheists should be averse.
والذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله ولو كره المشركون.
تلاوت القرآن با صوت خوش، با آداب که شیوه خاصی دارد، موسیقی خاصی دارد، روش خاصی دارد، اینها چیزایی لازم نیست.
Recitation of the Quran in nice tones should be performed according to particular methods and tones.
اما این کافی نیست.
But it's not enough.
مشکل بزرگ مسلمانان دنیا دوری از قرآن. دوری از قرآن. از قرآن.
Muslims' major problem is losing touch with the Quran. 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 کتاب
In the limelight.
The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has vowed no compromise on its demand for a full Israeli withdrawal from the Gaza Strip. We take a look at the world media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. Iran's Press TV has covered this story and tells us more. The Gaza Strip-based Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has vowed not to back down from its demand for a complete withdrawal of all Israeli forces from Gaza, which has been enduring a genocidal Israeli war for the past 5 months. Abu Obeidah, a spokesman for the Azadin al-Qassam Brigade, Hamas's armed wing, made the remark in a televised statement on Friday, 8th of March. Abu Obeidah said, "Our top priority is to reach a prisoner exchange deal and a complete commitment for the halt of aggression and the enemy withdrawal, and there is no compromise on this point." Hamas also wants relief for our people, the return of the displaced, and reconstruction of Gaza. Abu Obeidah added that famine is stalking Gaza as a result of the war and a siege that the Israeli regime has been imposing on the territory. Israel launched its war against the Gaza Strip on 7th of October after the Al-Aqsa storm, a surprise operation, by Gaza's resistance groups against the occupied Palestinian territories that were staged in protest at intensification of Tel Aviv's decades-long crimes against Palestinians. The Israeli regime has so far killed more than 30,878 Gazans, most of them women, children and adolescents. Meanwhile, a spokesman for Iran's foreign ministry, Nasser Kanani, says the United States, Europe and international organizations have no intention of putting an end to Israel's crimes against Palestinians in Gaza. Nasser Kanani, in a post on his official X account on Saturday 9th of March, said the criminal Israeli regime has been assured that it has a free hand to complete its ethnic cleansing project and genocide of the Palestinian people without having to be held accountable. Kanani added that a message from the High Representative of the European Union for Foreign Affairs, Josep Borrell, on X on Friday, marking International Women's Day, Borrell warned about the high casualty figures among civilian women and children in Gaza, saying 70% of the casualties are Palestinian women and children. Two mothers are killed every hour in Gaza. Josep Borrell has confirmed the mind-boggling figures, which are lost to no one around the world and everyone across the globe is witnessing every day, the Iranian Foreign Ministry spokesman Nasser Kanani noted. Kanani emphasized that the United States and the European Union have held international and human rights organizations to ransom to advance their own unilateral and profiteering policies. He asked, what is a clear example of crimes against humanity in the eyes of the European Union and the United States? Kanani described unfolding crimes against humanity in Gaza as a historic embarrassment for the so-called advocates of human rights. Also, the Lebanese Islamic Resistance Movement Hezbollah says it has struck Israeli troops near Israel's border with southern Lebanon in response to the Israeli regime's ongoing genocide in Gaza. Lebanon's Arabic-language Al-Mayadeen television network, citing a brief Hezbollah statement, reported that the group launched a heavy-caliber Burkan or volcano missile at the Israeli al-Baghdadi military outpost on Saturday, 9th of March, and that the projectile precisely struck its designated target. The development came a day after the resistance fighters targeted a gathering of Israeli troops near al-Raheb military site with a barrage of artillery shells. Israeli forces stationed at al-Samagha as well as Ruwaisat al-Alam outpost in the occupied Kfar Chuba Hills also came under separate rocket attacks from southern Lebanon. Hezbollah fighters also used a surface-to-surface Falak 1 missile to directly pound Israeli soldiers close to Jalal Alam military site. Turkey's TRT World has also covered the same story. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has said there will be no compromise on the Palestinian group's demand that the Israeli regime withdraws fully from the Gaza Strip. Our top priority is a prisoner exchange deal and a complete commitment for halting of aggression and a complete enemy withdrawal from Gaza. And there will be no compromise on this point, Abu Obeida, a spokesman for the Azadin al-Qassam Brigades, the military wing of the Hamas movement, said in a statement. The televised statement came as hopes dimmed for a new truce in the five-month-old Israeli war on Gaza. Mediators had been scrambling to lock in a truce before the Muslim holy month of Ramadan, which is set to begin as early as Sunday, 10th of March, depending on the lunar calendar. Also, an international effort is gathering pace to get desperately needed humanitarian relief into Gaza by sea. The dire conditions more than 5 months into Israel's devastating war have led some countries to airdrop food and other assistance over besieged Gaza, but a parachute malfunction turned the latest operation lethal. The European Commission Chief Ursula von der Leyen expressed hope a maritime corridor could open this Sunday, though crucial details of the planned operation remained unclear. The loss of lives in Gaza due to an aid airdrop malfunction shows an urgent need for a ceasefire in the besieged Palestinian enclave, the United Nations has emphasized. Responding to a question from Turkey's Anadolu News Agency on the airdrop incident, Stefan Dujarric, a spokesperson for the United Nations Secretary General, said, "We're extremely saddened by reports of people who have been killed during aid airdrops. This should be a reminder of why we need an immediate humanitarian ceasefire, why we need more access by road, and why we need better coordination with Israeli authorities and better deconfliction." Stefan Dujarric further stated, "The tragic accident is a symptom of the fact that we do not have an environment in which we can do large-scale, predictable humanitarian delivery." The website Business Recorder has also covered the same story. The Palestinian resistance group's Hamas's armed wing said on Friday, 8th of March, there would be no compromise on the movement's demand for a full Israeli withdrawal from Gaza. "Our top priority to reach is a prisoner exchange deal, but we also want a complete commitment for a halting of aggression in Gaza and a complete enemy withdrawal, and there will be no compromise on this point," Abu Obeidah, a spokesman for the Ezzedine al-Qassam Brigades, the military wing of the Hamas movement, said in a televised statement. The statement came as hopes dimmed for a new truce in Israel's brutal five-month-old war on Gaza. On Thursday, 7th of March, Hamas's delegation voiced dissatisfaction with Israeli responses to its demands and left the latest round of talks in Cairo, Egypt, for consultations with the movement's leadership in Qatar. The Palestinian resistance movement Hamas has been demanding that Israel withdraws completely from the Gaza Strip, a demand which the Israeli regime has so far refused to do.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamite.
Islamite.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Assalamu alaikum and welcome to IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station. Choo choo ka-choo, it's the Youth Station for you. I'm your humble co-host, Muzaffar Haider, and here in the studio we have with us the illustrious...
This is Asma. I am going to be here again in Youth Station with Brother Muzaffar, which is so much of a pleasure, of course. So, is there any problem in being old?
Huh? There's loads of problems in being old. Old age is terrifying. Your back aches, your bones ache, your teeth are falling out. Most of your friends who you knew back in the day and the people who cared about you are dead. You have to watch so many
of
your kids going astray.
Oh my God, that's so depressing. No.
Then there's all this new technology and you just don't understand it, nor do you see the point of it, but everybody's going crazy over it. the amount of slang that now the youths are saying it, and I'm just like, why do we have to use these words? My dear young ones, why? Why can't we just, for example, in my day, yeah, if something was cool, mm-hmm. we'd say, oh, yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. You know what they say now? Yeah? It's sick. Everything's sick. You know what that sounds like to me? Vomit. All right? Everything is just vomit.
Well, that depends on each age and era, you know? It's inevitable.
The other day, somebody sent me a skull emoji. A skull emoji, right? Yeah, and I'm just like, okay. I had to Google it. And apparently, you know what that means?
No, I'm not an emoji person.
See what I mean? That you're inside. You're an old lady. But yeah, it means that they're laughing themselves to death. Now, how am I supposed to know that?
Well, you know, in interaction, you
in my day,
that.
It was fine. LOL, right? It means laughing out loud. Okay, that was acceptable. Now there's like this skull and this and that, and I'm just like, no, man.
That's life, you know? Things are not going to be stable forever.
Yeah,
I guess they would change and evolution would happen.
Yeah, but it's de-evolution. People are evolving backwards.
It depends on how you look at it. According to them, it's evolution. According to us, it's going backwards.
Like, go look at my grandfather, for example. He was the strongest guy I've ever seen. Like, he would crack walnuts with his bare hands. He used to deal with snakes, like extracting the venom from snakes and stuff.
And he used to
just rip snakes apart with his bare hands. Like, literally, his forearms were like Popeye.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, we just sit at our desks and we're just like, I don't know, we're evolving into these weird creatures with spinal issues.
Well, I'm just telling you, that's time. Time is changing. And everything would change.
I applaud your words of wisdom, dear sister. I'm just ranting, okay? I'm allowed to rant.
It's okay.
Welcome to Youth Station. We are
all here.
We're fading away.
To listen to your naggings. And stuff like that. So you have a lot of objections to the new generation.
No, I don't like young people.
Oh, why?
Being in positions of authority especially.
Oh, no, and the contrary.
You like
now, like we have this election, and I have in mind to vote for people who are too young rather than the people
who
are too old.
That's because you're young and naive, okay? Young people don't know what's happening, okay? They think they do, and that's the worst thing about the new generation.
Now, the grandfather inside of you is speaking.
Yeah, no, it's a reality, okay?
People are naive.
I will. You want to fight about this, sister?
Yeah.
I am prepared to fight, okay? There is a hadith of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ali, who had so much knowledge that, you know, the Holy Prophet opened for him 1,000 doors of knowledge, and every one of those doors had 1,000 more. Okay, he said, I would prefer to listen to the wise advice of an old man than to the kind of the courageous youthfulness of a young person.
Well, that's wisdom. There is no... See, we cannot just negate the idea that the old people have got such a wisdom to share.
Of course.
There's no doubt in that.
And therefore, they should be the leaders of a society.
No, therefore, we have to go for a break, and then we would have a discussion over that. Welcome back. This is Youth Station. Brother Muzaffar and I are speaking about, is there any problem in being old?
It's not said.
I see no bad in bringing the youngsters into the authority.
It's like a household, right?
Mm-hmm.
A household, the father should be the one in charge, right?
Yeah, the father has not started from an old age. The father, when he became a father, he was young.
Yeah, he started young, but at the same time, he's old enough to be the father, right? I'm saying that the child, if he starts saying, no, I think it should be like this. I think it should be like
this.
No,
that's different.
How is that different to society?
Very different. A child is totally naive. But when we're talking about youngsters with education, the youngsters with too much of ambition, the youngsters who aim to change the society, that's a different thing. They are fully aware of what they're doing. They have had enough of education. They have had enough of experience.
They
haven't had
enough experience.
The youngsters we're talking about are above 30. I don't call above 30 a naive person, a young, naive, and not knowing what they're doing.
Yeah, no, a youth is anybody below the age of 40. Let's use that, right? Mm-hmm. Is that right? Is that accurate?
Maybe, on your perspective. Anyway, the young that everybody calls young are
about... They're young for a reason. One of the reasons is they don't have experience. Even if they have the education, even if they have the will...
Okay, when they have to get that experience, if you don't let them get that experience, they must get into the practical world in order to get the experience. So
by looking to their elders and seeing what they do. So I'm not against internships or younger people shadowing older people and seeing how they work. And, you know, there's a subtle wisdom behind what older people do that younger people might not be aware of.
Of course, there is no doubt over that because they had more of time to have experience. But then what I'm saying is that, as an authority and in the official jobs, I think it's better to open up a door for the youngsters to come up and seize those authorities and see what those youngsters are going to do. In our own country, I guess, whenever we trusted the youngsters, they did wonders. To listen to the old people, to the elder generation, is a good thing because, as you said, they're going to share a lot of wisdom. They have a lot of experiences. But then... sometimes I myself get sick of all the old people we see in the official authorities.
Why?
Because that's enough.
That's enough of what?
That's enough of repetition. That's enough of it. I guess we have to just let some new blood to get in.
Uh-huh. Like what repetition of what?
See, everybody has got a strategy. Mm-hmm. And since we're talking about official jobs, like in authorities, it's going to turn into a political concept. For those political concepts, people have got their own standards, their own strategies. So maybe these young generations are going to come and change the entire perspective. Maybe they would do something, some new stuff that those old people cannot see.
All right, so you're saying we need a new strategy. And in order to have a new strategy, you need a person who's relatively new to the world.
Exactly. Fresh blood. I call that fresh blood. Sometimes, in order to change some stuff, I guess, we have to bring new generations in as well.
There's a hadith of the Prophet where he says that respect those who are older than you because they've done more a'mal than you. And respect those who are younger than you because they've committed less sins.
See, that's a good perspective. And even our leader,
if you listen to
his presentations, he always focuses on the young generation. He always says that trust them, bring them into a practical realm of activities and give them a chance to prove themselves.
Okay, well, that's something I do have to agree with. The Ayatollah Imam Khamenei, the leader, he's talked a lot about and extensively about how youths need to enter the political and the practical fields and dimensions of society. And he has a lot of faith in them. I really love that.
Yeah.
But you see, I would argue that, okay, look, do you know the people of the cave, the youths of the cave in Surah Kahf?
Yeah.
Did you know that according to some tafsirs, they're actually like
matured
men? Well,
according to the film version...
But I think I've seen their faces. Yeah,
that was a very amazing film. Yeah. I recommend everybody to go and watch that.
Yeah, inshallah.
In that movie, they were not all old. They were just middlings. Like
middle-aged. Yeah, the thing is that they were, according to... That's what I'm saying. Some of the tafsirs, the reason that they're referred to as the youths is not because of their age, but because of their attitude.
So your attitude
has to be young.
And
for example, if you take Imam Khamenei, the example that we just gave of the leader, he has a young attitude. And what I mean by a young attitude is not lacking foresight or lacking experience. I mean belief. I mean iman. I mean this energy that you bring to the table where you believe that things can change and you still have the will to change it. one of the problems that we face with older people, generally speaking, is that a lot of that pure faith and energy has died because they've seen so much. I'm starting to feel that as well, right? But you're just like, okay, it's not going to change. There's no hope here.
Yeah.
Right? You know, there's just nothing going to manifest. That's it. And then you just give up. Mm-hmm. That faith actually goes.
The same thing that I was saying. It's as if they've got accustomed to everything. As if you need something new. And then you would just go for the youngsters that maybe they would do the change everybody is looking forward in the society.
Look, have you seen The Matrix?
Yes, not entirely. Every time I just go to watch...
You're familiar with the concept,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So one of the things they say in there is that they don't unplug anybody from The Matrix once they reach a certain age because the mind becomes too attached to that system. And so, yeah, it's like old age. It makes you too attached to the system, to this dunya. And after that, it's very, very difficult to disconnect. So I think it's not about being young or old physically. It's about the attitude.
Exactly.
The attitude needs to be young,
fresh. Now you're
talking. I was just teasing you at the beginning. But I think it's to do with that.
Yeah.
So I can continue to tease you because I can bring it back to the point that you have a very old soul sister.
Oh. It's okay. I have no problem with it.
No, I'm joking. No, but this young attitude needs to be there. This liveliness.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Imam Khomeini, in his books, he says, look, how are you expecting your, for example, your salah or your a'mal to affect you if you're not believing that it's going to, you're going to be rewarded for it? Imagine if in your salah you believed that you're being showered with blessings. It would change your whole perspective.
Of course.
But an older person, I guess they've seen so many bad people praying. They've seen so many things in life. They're just like, oh, I'm just praying.
But then if they have that energy that you were talking about, the whole story would differ.
It would completely change.
Yeah.
I'll give you another example. So there was this old scholar, and he was so studious, like he would just study, like dedicated to Allah, proper studying, researching, reading. And he discovers an entire new library full of books. There was one problem, though. They were all in a foreign language, which he didn't know. And he starts, what do you think he does? He begins learning that new language.
Mm.
And one of his students
comes in. So he definitely is young at heart.
Yeah, he's still, you know, because he's studying for the sake of Allah. And that belief has to be there, really. And that's a lot to do with youth.
Of course, yeah.
Remember that it's not so much about being older or younger physically. It's about that feeling of youth that you need to have inside you. You need to be connected to your youthful side. That's all for today. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you dear youth will see that day and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings. Be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum. Wassalamu alaikum. Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Ya Latif. Ya Latif. Ya Latif. Ya Latif.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.